It's time for the Children's Hour, right here on KUNM, New Mexico's community-powered public radio, 89.9. Online at KUNM.org.
Good morning, it's Katie. It's time for the Children's Hour. I'm so happy to be here with all my buddies. Well, in our studio today, we have some special guests, so they're going to come up in just a minute and talk to you all of us, about what do animals do in the winter? Where are all the animals in the winter? What do you think, Liliana?
They're in the hole.
Really? They're in their holes, do you think?
Yes.
Hiding?
Yes.
It's too cold, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yet. Yeah. Well, we're going to find out all about it. Like, did you know sometimes animals totally freeze, but it doesn't kill them? They stay alive, even though they're frozen.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's so interesting how it works.
It is. And we're going to learn a lot more about that today. We're delighted to have up in our studios two biologists. Is that fair to call you guys biologists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Animal scientists. Folks who are in the know about what's going on with all the little critters right now that it's freezing. I want to welcome Angie Swanson. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie.
And Diego Maddock. Good morning, Diego.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, Diego, let me go to you. What's the idea here that animals, we're told as animal owners, like pet owners, that when it's cold, we should be bringing our cats and dogs into the house. And every time I hear that, which, by the way, we do this, but every time I hear this, I think, well, what about all the animals like the coyotes and the pumas? And what are they doing? They're not going into somebody's house, or they get taken away by the animal control. So what goes on in the winter when it's cold for all these animals?
Well, animals actually have a lot of adaptations to handle these changes in temperature. There's lots of methods of freeze avoidance that they do. Like animals with fur put on layers, like our moms tell us to do. They get a thick undercoat when it gets cold out.
And so they're not freezing.
No, but some animals are actually freeze tolerant and can do this.
No way.
Yeah. I study frogs that can actually completely freeze, and there's other kinds of animals that do that as well. Turtles, snails, worms.
They all freeze?
Yeah.
Like solid?
Not solid. 50 to 80% of their body is frozen.
So if I were to, okay, not that I'm going to find a frozen turtle. By the way, how do you know this? Where do they go? They're not just sitting on the side of the road frozen.
It's true. They can have skin damage if they're above ground frozen. So they'll often go into burrows. Turtles will have nests that they hang out all together in groups.
So Liliana was right. Liliana, you were right. They go into their holes to stay alive. Wow. So they freeze almost completely solid.
Almost completely, yeah.
And how I just can't even believe it. So they don't eat?
Right. When they freeze, once their skin touches any ice, they start to freeze, and they systematically start shutting down their body. They stop breathing, and their heart stops as well.
No way.
Yep.
And yet, they're still alive.
Yeah.
But if you were to, like, dig out a frozen frog,
right,
would you think this is dead?
It would look much different than when it's not frozen. It's when ice or when water freezes, ice expands. So it looks kind of puffy, and it can stay that way for days or even months, actually.
So what about on these days like today, where it's freezing at night, and yet the daytime it's supposed to be like a high of 50-something today in Albuquerque? Does that confuse them? Do they then kind of thaw and hop around?
They might be able to completely thaw, but maybe not hop around. They survive the freezing by freezing and thawing, and their body adjusts to the temperature.
So this is true of, is this true of all amphibians?
Not all amphibians, just ones that are far enough north that they need to be able to freeze to survive.
So amphibians of New Mexico. Safe to say they're doing this?
probably amphibians of New Mexico are burrowing and using freeze avoidance instead of freeze tolerance. But there are frogs, like the wood frog lives in Alaska, and that one completely freezes.
Wow. So my question for you then becomes, so our animals of New Mexico, last year we all remember, maybe some of us remember, it got so cold, it got negative 15 degrees for a couple days straight, as I recall. Am I imagining that? It seemed like it was really cold. And what happened to these frogs and turtles that aren't used to that terrible, terrible cold?
Well, most likely the frogs and turtles that we have here were already in a burrow, and they do get themselves low enough so that they're below the frost line. So when you burrow down, you create a small climate for yourself, and it stays warmer around you.
Aren't these animals, aren't they cold-blooded, so they need the sun to survive?
Right. Ectotherm is a term that we describe for frogs and turtles, and that means that they need the heat from their environment to keep their bodies warm. So they just have to either be in the sun or during the winter months be burrowed and try and keep warm that way.
Do they go with any friends? Do they go with their family? Are they alone in their burrow for months? Are they sleeping? What are they thinking?
It depends on the species. They probably are sleeping. Mammals actually do the same similar things. They slow down their metabolism. Diego knows more about that.
They slow down their heart rate, their breathing, their temperature goes down to about the environment's temperature. It's pretty cool.
Wow. We're going to come back and talk more about this. Is this officially called hibernation? I mean, when we think of the word hibernation, we think of, honestly, all right, what do you think of, Julia, when you hear the word hibernation?
Like,
what animal? What animal hibernates?
A bear?
Exactly. We all think of a bear. Were we fooled? There's a lot more animals than bears?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And this is technically hibernation, what you're talking about?
Hibernation's a form of freeze avoidance, but freeze tolerance and completely being frozen isn't hibernation. It's just frozen state.
Interesting. We're going to come back. We're talking to Angie Swanson and Diego Matic. They're from UNM in the biology department, and we're talking about animal adaptations for winter. How do all these amazing animals in New Mexico and all over the world survive when it's freezing outside? We're talking about what do animals do in the winter to survive. And in the studio with us from the University of New Mexico Biology Department, we have Angie Swanson and Diego Matic. And Angie specializes in frogs. Your true specialty is what happens to frogs in the winter, right?
And studying how the traits of freezing have come about in frogs. So the genetics of that.
The genetics of that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And Diego, we were chatting a little bit while the music was playing about a listener called, and Eli Glickman, can you ask Diego and Angie the question that our listener had?
Yeah. So a listener called in and he said he found a barn owl
Do they migrate, barn owls?
They do not.
They do not. They're hanging out with us all the time. Cool. Okay.
That's why they have snow camouflage, I think.
Ah. But, so the listener called asking about a barn owl.
Yeah. And he found it, and it was completely still. Like, it was just not moving, and he picked it up. And it was warm, even though it was like 15 degrees outside. And he was asking if it was alive or it was if it was alive or it was dead.
Well, like we were talking about, a lot of birds migrate, and this is because they don't have the ability to put on the extra weight for the winter and then use that in hibernation. So it's possible that it was just resting, but it's also possible that it had passed away.
Aw, that's kind of sad. Aw. Well, on that very sad note, you are tuned to your New Mexico community-powered public radio station. This is KUNM. You can catch us online at kunm.org. You're listening to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. And Angie Swanson, Diego Matic are here in the studio talking about animal adaptations for the winter. We were talking a little bit about migration. Sadly, I'm kind of glad the owls don't migrate because I love owls. But sadly, one of our listeners thought maybe an owl was lucky enough to be adapting to the cold by being very stiff and still or not, you know, are very still. And that doesn't look like the case, sadly. But Angie, you were just bringing up right there in the break, there are other kinds of animals other than birds that migrate. Tell us about it.
So many different kinds of animals migrate. And one that I think is pretty interesting are snakes. Because when it gets cold, what does a snake do? Well, snakes can go up to over 2,000 miles.
No way.
Yeah, they'll crawl 2,000 miles to get to a den. Because snakes overwinter in a giant group house where over like you can get up to 200 snakes in one den.
That'd be like a snake person with a snake phobia's worst nightmare to find the snake den.
Yeah. Well, like Indiana Jones in that movie when he falls into that and they try to trap him in the like den, there's a bunch of snakes in there. That's
creepy.
Because they were living all together in there.
It wasn't den. Because they were put there to protect the items underground.
No, so, it's a cozy spot for them.
So you're talking about snakes in New Mexico actually truck their way south to a den?
Yes.
Do we know where these dens are?
They're just any kind of underground large area that they can get into. I don't believe that they burrow them. I think that they use other animals' dens.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. So that's why we're not seeing snakes right now laying on the road sunning themselves.
Exactly.
And they're keeping warm by slithering around each other in that den?
And cuddling together, yeah.
Who would think that snakes are cuddly? Wow, that is so cool. Wow. Well, you learn something new every day. I hope you're learning something new on the Children's Hour. We're talking animal adaptations for winter with Angie Swanson and Diego Matic. And Angie, talk to us a little bit. I don't want to say I hope all the bugs die over the winter, but, you know, mosquitoes I'm not such a big fan of, and cockroaches I'm not such a big fan of. But what does happen to the bugs in the winter?
Well, bugs have a shorter lifespan, so a lot of bugs do die off in the winter, and they'll have eggs that are laid safely somewhere that can hatch in the spring. Monarch butterflies, as we were talking about before, they migrate to get away from the cold temperatures. So bugs are similar to the frogs that I study, and they'll create burrows, and they can freeze up to 80% of their body water and survive the winter, too.
Seriously? So if we're thinking, you're starting to get me thinking about kind of watery animals like earthworms. What, now I'm wanting to ask you about all these different animals. What happens to earthworms?
Earthworms, they get really deep in the dirt, but they have a certain amount of freeze tolerance, too. The further down you get, the warmer that you're going to be because you're further away from the cold temperatures on the Earth's surface.
Interesting. So of the bugs of New Mexico, which ones are burrowing down? What do you know? Do you know? A lot of them?
Beetles, I know that they burrow. Mm-hmm. And I have bugs that live in my compost pile, and they're pretty toasty in there.
Yeah. So. They are. Diego, your specialty is chipmunks, and I don't mean Alvin. I hope you don't mean Alvin.
No.
No, they don't usually sing. Okay, so those chipmunks are so cute. Where do they go? What are they doing?
Chipmunks are usually in their nests, and they go in a state of torpor, which is essentially like short-term hibernation where everything slows down, their metabolism, but they can wake up at any point during the day to go to the bathroom, eat some of their stored food, things like that.
So they're just kind of in. Are they alone? Are they with their family?
What? Well, usually they're alone, but if they have a family, then they'll be with their family.
They don't have babies in the fall, right? They have them in the spring.
Exactly.
So
the food is ample when they have their babies.
I see. Do they actually emerge fatter in the winter? After the spring comes, are they fatter or are they skinny?
When winter comes, they've used up a lot of their reserves, so they're a lot skinnier than they were
when the
winter began. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So they come out skinnier even though they have reserves in there.
Exactly.
So when we see them frantically running, which is how they always are, I don't know how you would study those things because they're always running away. How do you study them?
Well, we actually capture them and collect them out on the field. So,
wow.
Wow.
You have to get some tasty treats and put them in a trap, otherwise they don't want you to get near them.
I bet not. No, I've tried to pet one. They don't let me ever pet them.
Unless they have rabies.
Great.
Then they'll come for you.
Great. So the ones you can pet have rabies. Good to know. So tell us, how did you two become biologists? Did you love animals as a kid? What made you go into this field?
I think I just get intrigued by all the strange things that nature has to offer. When I heard about freezing frogs, that really sparked my interest. So.
Me too. It's cool to learn about the mysteries of life and see where that takes us. And research work is a good field to understand that.
Do you plan to, are you students now, is that right?
Yeah, we're undergrads.
And do you plan to continue to study your specialty field? Or are you going to, what's next for you?
Yeah, I plan to get a PhD. I'm not sure what I'm going to study yet, but definitely something that's interesting.
Wow. And I'm going to take the bio degree and go with veterinary medicine.
Wow, you're going to become a vet.
Yeah.
You won't get to treat chipmunks.
No. Maybe at the zoo.
No. Oh, you could be a zoo vet.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so great.
That would be a cool job.
So that's typical. So all the kids out there who want to become veterinarians, it would be common to study biology in undergrad years?
Yeah, yeah. There's just a couple classes you need to take to get into vet school, and biology is a perfect route.
How fantastic. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Children's Hour. You have been fantastic. Angie Swanson, Diego Matic from the University of New Mexico Biology Department. Thank you so much. We've learned so much from you today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
If you'd like to learn more about what you heard today on the show, please just look online at KUNM.org, where we've posted our playlist. So this is KUNM.